Good evening. This is the evening service for Sunday, May the 3rd. And again, before I start, just let me repeat the announcement that I made this morning. We are going to observe the day of prayer on Thursday of this week, May the 7th. We'll be meeting at noon at the church. Again, if you're sick and don't feel good, don't come. Just pray at home at noon. But if you feel comfortable in coming, wear a mask. We'll be meeting in the hall. We'll be practicing social distancing, and so we'll have chairs set up 6 feet apart. Of course, husband and wife and families can sit together, but we'll maintain 6 feet distance. We'll go out and come in, not as a group, but as individuals or couples or families. And so, again, if you feel comfortable in coming, we'll observe the day of prayer on Thursday at noon at the church. All right, tonight, if you have your Bibles, turn to the 23rd Psalm, Psalm 23. And we're going to read the first four verses for our scripture reading tonight. Here's what the Bible says. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And let's pray together. Father, thank you for another opportunity to go into your word. Again, I pray that you'll bless us as we listen and help us to listen. Help us to listen not only with our ears, but with our hearts, with our souls, with our minds, with our whole being. And I pray tonight, Holy Spirit, that you will speak to us. You'll put into our hearts and our minds the thoughts and the ideas that you want there. And just remind us that we have a God, we have a Savior that leads us. Again, thank you for your word. Bless it as we study it and preach it tonight. I pray if there's somebody here that listens that don't know Christ, that Holy Spirit, you'll speak to them. You'll convict them that they are a sinner and that they need a Savior and that Jesus is the only one that will work. And so bless your word, for it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. The 23rd Psalm is a wonderful psalm, probably one of the most well-known psalms there is in the book of Psalms, probably the most quoted, probably the most preached than any other psalm. And it's a psalm that has dried many tears and provided much comfort. In fact, yesterday I had the privilege of doing a funeral for Duke Hatchett. This is Roy Hatchett, Roy and Kelly, Roy's dad, who passed away last Sunday. And during his funeral or graveside service, I read the 23rd Psalm. But it has provided much comfort and supplied hope in times of hopelessness. It's a song of perfect trust. David, of course, is the author of the 23rd Psalm, and he is sure of his Lord. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." Or as the little girl who was trying to quote Psalm 23, verse 1 said, "The Lord is my shepherd. That's all I want." And however you say it, it is true. When the Lord is our shepherd, we don't have any worries. We don't have any anxieties. We have no fears. And we're not sure of ourselves. We're not sure of our family. We're not even sure of our church. We're sure of our God. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. As you study the 23rd Psalm, it's divided into two parts. Verses 1 through 4, which we read tonight as our scripture reading, pictures the Lord as a shepherd who watches and cares for his sheep. Verses 5 and 6, the Lord is pictured as a host who provides refuge and pours out his kindness. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Verses 5 and 6 of Psalm 23. Tonight, I want to stay in the first four verses, and I want to dwell on the thought, and this is my the title of my message tonight, He Leadeth Me. He Leadeth Me. And tonight, I want to mention three places where the Lord, our Shepherd, leads us. Number one, He leads us into joy. It says there, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. The green pastures, the still waters, are the best place for a lamb or sheep to be. It's a pleasant place. It's a joyous place. They have grass to eat and water to drink. Now, I've been told that sheep won't drink from a running brook or a running river, that the water has to be still for them to drink. And so in a green pasture and still water, again, a pleasant place for sheep to be. And the psalm pictures what God does for us. Sometimes the scale of our life gets out of balance. Trials and heartaches and sorrows come, and they weigh heavy on us. And if we're not careful, we exaggerate them and get overwhelmed. But I would remind you tonight that the joy that comes from the Lord always outweighs the sorrow that comes into our life. The blue of heaven is far bigger than the clouds. And the joy that God gives us far outweighs the sorrows that might come into our life. Home, family, friends, the beauty of this world, the presence of God, the peace of God, all come from the Good Shepherd. And He leads us to those places. And the world can't take those things away from us. The choir sings a little chorus sometimes. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. Oh, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. We sing the chorus, little chorus sometimes. I've got the joy unspeakable and full of glory. Full of glory, full of joy, glory. I've got the joy unspeakable and full of glory. The half has never yet been told. And you might say tonight, hey, preacher, you don't know my situation. My home's a mess. My family doesn't care. I have no friends. In my life, it's always cloudy. The sun never shines. I don't feel the presence of God. I don't know the peace of God. Listen, let me remind you tonight, if you're a Christian, if you're saved, if your sins have been paid for by Jesus Christ, you have a Savior who loves you, who took your place on Calvary, who's now preparing a place for you in heaven. And one day He will come again and receive you unto Himself. Maybe that'll be in the rapture. Maybe that'll be at the time of our death when He will receive us to ourselves. But I'll just remind you tonight, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. He brings joy unspeakable and full of glory into our life. He'll lead us into that joy. Even in the midst of the trials and the sorrows of life, He'll still lead us into that place of joy if we'll recognize it. So He leads us into joy. Number two, He leads us into righteousness. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Every place that God leads us is a holy place. It's a holy place because it has a holy purpose. And like we talked about this morning, His purpose and our purpose, our purpose ought to be, but God's purpose for us is to be more like Jesus. He was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. And so He can serve as our example. He can lead us in that straight and narrow way. It's not always a attractive way, not always a desirable way. It's often hard and steep. It's often difficult. That way sometimes it involves God taking his sandpaper and sanding off the rough edges in our life. Sometimes it means God puts us through the ringer. I don't know, some of you young people won't remember, but I can remember when I was a kid, my grandmother had an old-fashioned washer. It had a tub, but it didn't have the spin cycle that modern washers have on them today. And so there was ringers, two rollers, and you would put the clothes through those rollers to wring out the water so you could hang them on the line. You'd have dryers, you could hang them on the line so that would dry. Sometimes the path that God leads us to, he has to take out his sandpaper. He's trying to make us more like Jesus. He has to put us through the ringer to make us more like Jesus. Sometimes he has to take out the hammer and beat us a little bit, or take out the saw and cut some things out of our life. But as we go through those times, and again, those times are holy times. Those times are used by God to make us more like his son. And we never go through those times alone. He always leads us there. And he's there with us. And when we feel like we're going to faint and we can't go on, he will give us the grace and the strength to sustain us. If the way is too steep, he'll help us as we climb it. Because where he's trying to get us, again, is to be more like Christ. He's trying to get us to that higher ground. We sing the song, "I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Make me more like Jesus. Make me more in his image." The greatest compliment that a child can give to a parent, a student can give to a teacher, an apprentice can give to a craftsman is to say, "I want to be just like you. I want to be just like you." And the greatest joy that God has is when his children say, "I want to be just like you." Again, David said, "I won't be satisfied until I awake in your likeness." He leads us there. He leads us into righteousness. He leads us into joy. And then number three, he leads us through sorrows. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Sometimes God leads us in the valleys. Sometimes he leads us into dark places and shadows in our life. They're places that none of us would choose. I mean, if you had the choice to choose cancer or to be cancer-free, we'd all choose to be cancer-free. If we had the choice to choose if we were going to have heart problems or not have problems, we'd all choose not to have heart problems. Again, if we would not choose the sorrows of life that we've all gone through, we would not choose them for ourselves. I mean, if we had, you know, each item written out, cancer, unemployment, the death of a loved one, some other sickness, and we had a column, yes and no, every single one of us would check no to each one of those items. I mean, Noah wouldn't have chose to go through the flood. Daniel wouldn't have chose to go into the lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego wouldn't have chosen the fiery furnace. Paul wouldn't have chosen the beatings and the stonings and the shipwrecks that he endured as he traveled for Christ. But if we could talk to Noah and ask Noah, "Hey, when were you the closest to God?" He would say it was when we were on the ark, when we were going through the flood. If we could talk to Daniel, "When were you the closest to God?" He would say it's when I was in the lion's den and God gave all those lions lockjaw. if we could talk to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when were you the closest to God? Well, it was in the furnace. We were there when that fourth man appeared who was in the image of God, even old King Wicked and heathen Nebuchadnezzar. Hey, I see a one through three, and I see a fourth man in there, and he has an image like the Son of God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, hey, the closest we were to God were when we were in the furnace. Talk to Paul. Paul, when were you the closest to God? When I was being beaten. When I was being stoned. When I was in the deep, suffered shipwreck. That's when I was the closest to God. And so he leads us to sorrows. He leads us to sorrows. And that's when we're the closest to God. Talk to folks in our church that have suffered cancer and have suffered heart problems and have suffered some other heartaches. Ask them the question, when were you the closest to God? When did you feel God's presence more intensely than any other time? It wasn't when they were living on the mountaintop. It wasn't when everything was going good. It's when God led us through the valleys. It's when God led us to those dark places of life, to those shadows of life. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. That's when we feel the closest to God. He never leaves us or forsakes us. Most of the time we don't notice. We don't pay attention because everything in our life is going good. We have no heartaches. We have no problems. We have no sorrows. And yet, when he leads us into the valleys, we know he's there. We feel his presence because most of the time we can't get through those valleys without his presence. He leads into joy. He leads into righteousness. He leads into the valleys. Listen, as a songwriter says it, he leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. Sometimes mid scenes of deepest gloom, sometimes when Eden's bowers bloom, by water still or troubled sea, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. Lord, I would clasp thy hand to mine, nor ever murmur nor repine, content whatever lot I see, since 'tis my God that leadeth me. And listen to the last verse. And when my time on earth is done, when by thy grace the victory's won, in death's cold wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me. By his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. Does he lead you tonight? You know, when it comes time for us to end our life on this earth, what a blessed thought it is to know that we have a God that's going to take us from here to heaven. And the only way we can know that is to know Jesus as our Savior. We're all sinners, none righteous, no, not one, for all sin and come short of the glory of God. Wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He purchased that gift when he went to Calvary. He purchased that gift when he paid the price of our sin. And because he did, God can offer to every single person the gift of salvation. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And that life comes through Jesus Christ. Would you receive him tonight? Would you make him your Savior tonight? All you have to do is just admit you're a sinner, believe that he died for you, and call out to him and ask him, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I deserve to be separated from God. But I believe you paid the price for my sin. And right now I'm calling out to you and asking you to be my Savior. If you call out to him and ask him, he'll save you. He will. Let's pray together. Father, thank you again for this time we've been able to spend in your word. Thank you for being our shepherd that leads us into those, into joy, that leads us into righteousness, that leads us into valleys. Thank you for being a God that never leaves us or forsakes us. You're always there with us. And again, I pray for those that have never received Jesus. I pray that they'd make that decision right now. And then for the many Christians, help us to rejoice that we do have a God that leads us. Thank you again for your word. Speak to our hearts through it. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.